Welcome to Book Pile Banter. This is Amberly with Sarah and Kim, and today we are going to dissect the mystery genre as we head into the month of April. What Sarah? What was that face?
I didn't have a face.
No, you covered it. Why did you cover your face? They said mystery.
No, it's just because I finished the mystery book that we have set, and I was like, I don't know.
You mean the mystery book you picked?
Yes, that I picked. That was a bad choice, and I just...
I haven't quite figured out the mystery yet. Maybe that's the mystery, if you don't know what the mystery is.
The mystery already happened. If you've gotten like more than 50 pages in, it's already been answered.
Okay.
It's a not valid mystery book. But we're going to do it anyway, because I'm not reading another book.
I'm not reading another book either. I have other books I'm enjoying reading much more than that one. Anyway, let's talk about mysteries. Not the first book.
So, mystery is a fiction genre where the nature of an event, usually a murder or other crime, remains mysterious until the end of the story. Often within a closed circle of suspects, each suspect is usually provided with a credible motive and a reasonable opportunity for committing the crime. So that's the kind of like very basic definition of what a mystery is. So are you guys familiar with mysteries? Have you read a lot of mysteries?
I got onto a short Agatha Christie kick when I was 12. We'll say. I have no idea when it was. I probably read 3 or 4 Agatha Christie's and then it was over. And that has been the extent of my mystery exposure. Mystery books don't really do it for me.
Sarah?
There was one point in my life, early mid-20s maybe, where I was reading, I don't know, are detective novels mysteries? Yeah. I mean,
that's a subgenre of mysteries.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I was reading those. I mean, that's how I got into like Kate Atkinson. And I did actually read quite a few books from my library. And then I just got tired of it and haven't gone back to it since.
Okay. So to clarify, in terms of subgenres, mysteries has detective fiction, true crime, cozy mystery, legal thriller, police procedural, how catch'em, hard-boiled, historical mystery, and then a locked room mystery. Which I personally kind of actually enjoy thrillers every once in a while. So I have actually read more mystery thrillers than I probably would have realized in the past. Though not in the sense of like, I think what most people would think, which is like John Grisham, not those legal thrillers, not legal thrillers, but like more like thriller mysteries. Or more of a How Catch'em might fit more into what I've read, which is an inverted detective story, also known as How Catch'em, is a murder mystery fiction structure in which the commission of the crime is shown or described at the beginning, usually including the identity of the perpetrator. The story then describes the detective's attempt to solve the mystery. So I've kind of read some of those. It's not like my favorite genre in the entire world, but it's a good palette cleanser, I think, every once in a while, because it does follow like a very structured format. Just not like the James Patterson or John Grisham ones. I don't need like the super long series of mysteries.
I read a few of the books that the TV show Bones was based on. Those were mysteries, I believe.
Yeah, those would be mysteries.
I think I read those too, some of them.
Also, if you ever read the ones that were like the numbered.
I did read those too. I read like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. Yeah. I read a few of them.
Those would be mysteries. One that's really popular right now, like really, really popular, is Louise Penny. To the point where at the library we actually needed a like reads like Louise Penny, because people get through all of her books and they're like, I really want something else like this. What else do you have? Which is fun fact, at least in our library, not too many people read mysteries. And so it's sometimes the harder genre for everyone in the library to recommend, because those who read mysteries know like all the really general popular ones, and then you have to like kind of get really niche. I had the fun joy of trying to figure out the read like Louise Penny reading recommendation list, which I think I did pretty good with. So in terms of the history of mysteries, per masterclass, let's see here. I had that up somewhere. Hi, Daenerys. Okay, so per masterclass, stories with elements of crime have been around for centuries. In ancient Greece, Sophocles wrote about themes of infanticide, murder, exile, suicide, and death. Euripides, thank you, wrote about themes of revenge and suffering, exposing the more human sides of the mythical gods. But most critics and scholars credit Edgar Allan Poe with inventing the modern mystery. He published a short story called The Murders in the Row Morgue in 1841 that featured Auguste C. Dupin, literature's first fictional detective. It was a groundbreaking moment that saw the creation of an entirely new literary genre. Dupin was the first well-known character in literature to work a case, gather clues, and solve a mystery. Also, the inspiration, if I remember correctly, for Sherlock Holmes, which would be another, you know, well-known mystery, is Sherlock Holmes. The one that I think a lot of people also would know is Hardy Boys. Those would be mysteries.
Oh, I read the Hardy Boys when I was a kid. I loved the Hardy
Boys. But Nancy Drew.
Yep, Nancy Drew would be mysteries as well. And it really is that kind of like procedural process to it. So when you guys think about mysteries, like what are key elements that make you think mystery? I'm kind of curious.
A murder and then going through a bunch of suspects until you find out which one's the killer, often with some twist.
No one could see that, but Sarah rolled her eyes at the word twist. What about you, Kim? Anything else that you can think of that Sarah didn't include?
No, exactly that.
Okay, so there are exactly seven elements that a mystery novel... Well, at least seven elements that a mystery should have and needs to include in order to be satisfying for those who read mysteries. Sarah, why are you covering your face now?
I'm just, the same reason, just thinking of my choice. I'm like, none of these apply. Such a terrible choice. Anyways, even though I haven't heard them, please continue with what they were.
Okay, so the first one is a strong hook. Which I know Kim knows what a strong hook is. Do you want to tell us what a strong hook is?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Why would I know what a strong hook is?
Because you write and read. Sarah, do you know what a strong hook is?
Something that grabs the reader's attention.
I was gonna say something that draws in your attention, but anyway.
Thank you. I'm just trying to get you guys to, you know,
stop playing games on our phones.
I'm not paying attention.
I was going to say, right now, Sarah is paying attention and being an excellent participant. Good job, Sarah.
You are the star pupil of the day.
So, yes, one of the first elements that a mystery should have is a strong hook or element that draws you in instantly. So kind of like an example would be... Let's see here. Do I have an example here? That'd be excellent.
The Invitation to the Island in, 12 Little Indians? What is that one? Agatha Christie.
Oh, yes. That would be a hook. Another one. So the one this website, the nownovel.com, gives is, Tuesday was a fine California day full of sunshine and promise until Harry Lyon had to shoot someone at lunch. And like, like the key thing is like that first sentence should just instantly be like first sentence, first paragraph, first page, first chapter is like what is going on.
That's sorry, is their name on the planet? Harry
Lion?
Yeah.
I mean, that in itself is a hook because I would be like, why is his name Harry Lion?
Harry Lion, because who would do that to their child?
And then it wouldn't even be about that. I would feel so cheated by the end of the book. I'd be like, okay, but why? Why didn't we get at least a flashback of the parents in the hospital
naming
being like,
this
I think
child.
Harry would be the perfect name.
To go with our lion last name.
Whatever,
but I would argue every book is supposed to have a hook. They're, whether they talk about the opening sentence or whatever, that's, yeah, there's nothing unique about that.
No, I wouldn't say there's nothing unique, but I do think that it's something that's very critical for a mystery.
Well, you want to know that there's a mystery there, and that's what you're moving forward with.
Exactly. So I think with mysteries particularly, you've got to feel comfortable writing hooks. Because trust me, I've read some books that did not start out with strong hooks, and I still read them.
Why is that not a category or something that we discuss each time that we, like, how strong is the hook of this book?
That would be a good one. Let's take plausibility out and put in opening. I like that idea.
I will consider it.
Good, because I fucking hate plausibility.
I know you do. So that's the first element that it should have, is a strong hook. The second thing is, for mysteries, there should be an active reader involvement in piecing together information. Kim is making a what the fuck face.
How is the reader active? I mean, yes, in my brain, am I trying to guess what's happening? But I, again, am doing that in every book I read.
But it's like you should be able to kind of understand or get the mystery to yourself without it just being like, here's some background and details that
you should see the clues. Yeah, you should see the clues. And you're right. It shouldn't come out of nowhere. Everything should be there. It's probably one of the things people are the worst at in writing these types of stories is, sorry, She Who Must Not Be Named just slammed into my head hard and it hurt. And then they shouldn't try to write themselves out of their corner they wrote themselves into 7 books later. But anyway, that's beside the point. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, Amber.
No, you're good. But yeah, so the idea is that the reader should feel like they're part of the story. You should be dropping clues throughout the novel so they feel like they're an active participant in solving the mystery. There are plenty of books that I would agree you can be active in trying to figure out what's going on. Or you're just along for the ride. I can't remember which of the murder bots, but I feel like there's been one of the murder bots that almost was mystery-like.
Yeah, there was that one. Was it
that was on the station and they were trying to figure out?
Was that Fugitive Telemetry or was that?
I don't remember because I read them so often and I usually read them all in a row that they read like one solid book to me and I don't really pay attention to the titles.
All Systems Red, Network Effect, and Artificial Condition are like the only ones that like stand out in my mind because obviously there's the first one, then there's the bigger novel and then the book where Art is, but like Exit Strategy, Fugitive Telemetry, and then I think there's another one in there that I can't even remember the name of, embarrassingly enough.
But again, I usually read them as if they are one long.
Yeah. I mean, they're short, novel. So it's easy until you hit Network Effect. But yes, I do believe that there is one of the books that kind of plays out like a murder mystery.
Mensa is kidnapped.
That one, I think, yes, could function as a
but there's
mystery.
One where, like, a person shows up dead.
Yeah.
And murder bots trying to figure out who it is. And I just don't remember which one that is.
Yeah. But it's actually one of the things I like about the murder bot books is she does kind of take a different... She applies a genre to the science fiction of it all. And, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
We all know I like it.
Anyways, I would say that's an excellent example of like leaving clues behind. I think other ones that we've read that, funnily enough, someone at work put into sci-fi mystery was Dead Silence and The Luminous Dead. Because we are still trying to figure something out. They just like combine with a horror element. And I'd say they're stronger on their horror science fiction than they are on their mystery. But again, those would fall as mysteries because we do have those clues that are being left behind for us that we as a reader are actively trying to figure out what it is. What does it mean? As opposed to maybe, say, a fantasy where you're just kind of along for the ride, the journey. You're not necessarily trying to resolve something.
That's what I thought my choice was going to be. And it wasn't. It wasn't at all. So disappointed and angry.
Choice was going to be like The Luminous Dead?
Well, like that same sense of something weird, maybe quasi-supernatural is going on, but you know, you'll go through the clues and figure it out. No.
No.
Yeah, sadly, the book that probably would have satisfied you, Sarah, is not out yet. Kim and I have both read it, though.
Which one is that?
Ghost Station.
Yeah.
That would have been a good, like, horror mystery.
Oh, well. I'll just keep making terrible choices on my book picks. It's fine. Ain't gonna change anything. I'm just in for the ride now to see what past Sarah has put us through.
Oh, too funny.
I was gonna say, past Sarah has definitely made some interesting choices for the future.
Peter Dunn was all right. But after that, strong start and then just, you know, fell flat on the face.
Well, and you get we're in April, so next month you get two chances to fall on your face.
I'll be sad if Starter Villain is bad because I've wanted to read that one for a while. I forget what the other book is. What's the next genre after mystery?
Dystopian.
What?
Dystopian.
Oh, God, I don't even like that genre to begin with. So I know that my choice was just like, what the fuck ever, I guess. I think that's the one that's not rabid, but it's like just one word.
Ripe.
Ripe?
Ripe.
Okay, yeah.
That
looking forward to
it. Is... Let's see here. See, for Ripe.
Why are we talking about mystery related next month?
Just because we can.
We're following this tangent, okay?
A surreal novel with a dark, delicious edge about a woman in Silicon Valley who must decide how much she's willing to give up for success. From an award-winning writer whose work Roxane Gay calls utterly unique and remarkable. A year into her dream job at cutthroat Silicon Valley startup, Cassie finds herself trapped in a corporate nightmare between the long hours, toxic bosses. Oh, I am gonna love that. And unethical projects, she's also struggling to reconcile the glittering promise of a city where obscene wealth lives alongside abject poverty and suffering. Sarah, why are you doing this to me?
It wasn't me. I mean, it was me, but it's not.
No, this was full on you. I really have to read a book about toxic bosses.
You'll live.
I mean, it's not or just about toxic bosses. Ooh, I'll add a third one to my collection. Look, man, I looked up Dystopian and this came up and I was like, it seems readable. It also seems fucked up, but you know.
Readable for you? You literally are giving me my triggers.
Oh, stop it. Move on. Let's talk about what we're talking about.
Okay. The next element is red herring. So most mystery novels should also include red herrings. What are you guys' thoughts? I feel like that's probably the element the two of you would dislike the most about a mystery.
I mean, they're annoying, but at the same time, if you don't have them, then it's going to be way too straightforward.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. And at they least. Can be done well.
But, like She Who Shall Not Be Named.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like I wouldn't trust a YA book to be able to pull it off very well because they're just so simplified.
Yeah.
But you know.
I've had a couple of YA books that were mystery like, and there were red herrings that went over pretty well. Not tons of them. Apparently, I haven't read it, but there's one author, Holly Jackson, who every time someone comes to grab one of her books, they are just like absolutely beside themselves. They cannot stop recommending it. Called A Good Girl's Guide to Murder. So I've heard amazing things. I just haven't read hers yet. The next element should be suspenseful dialogue. Which, let's see here. What does it say about suspenseful dialogue? Like, what makes it?
Sounds to me like lack of communication.
So what it does is having one speaker lie, giving information that contradicts what the reader already knows to be true. Having a character say something bizarre or unexpected. The example they give is the TV series Twin Peaks. Or having a character withhold information or be non-cooperative when questioned. So just character development with dialogue.
Lack of communication.
Then, what is the difference between a mystery and a thriller? Because I'm totally thinking mystery versus thriller. Interesting. I may have accidentally picked a thriller instead of a mystery.
So what's the difference?
A thriller novel devotes most of its focus to suspense, dread, and the fear of a future crime, instead of one that's already happened. Most mysteries reveal a crime and then require their main characters to work backwards to figure out who committed that crime.
I have no idea what I picked, so.
I mean, honestly, mine is not a mystery at all, so you'll just be in good company if yours is also, yours will probably be closer to a mystery, let's be real, but you know.
Let's see here. Kim picked the only one left, I think, is more of a thriller than a mystery. Maybe we should have just done thrillers this month. The only one left by Red. So the only one left is a 2023 murder mystery horror novel by American author Todd Ritter, writing under the pen name Riley Sager. So Kim might be
the winner.
The winner. Let's see here. Murder Road.
My default.
St. James. Oh no, mine's a mystery too. It's a mystery thriller. So a young couple finds themselves haunted by a string of gruesome murders committed along an old deserted road in this terrifying new novel from New York Times bestselling author, The Book of Cold Cases. So it's just Sarah who failed the assignment. So anyways, what led me on this thought process is the next element that is expected in a mystery novel is to create a mysterious mood with setting and descriptive language. And in the article, it says, in a mystery novel, as in a thriller, mood is a substantial part of what throws the reader headfirst into your fictional world. The factors that contribute to mood in fiction are settings, descriptive language, and characterization. The ingredients of a good mystery include structure as well as content. Not only what happens, but how it is paced and where each scene takes up and leaves off. Which in the master class, they go on to add to that, even the most shocking plot twist will fall flat without the right mood, setting a mysterious mood that immediately puts your reader into your world of your novel. A dark setting, such as an abandoned building, an isolated cabin in the woods, descriptive language of the chilling details of the case, and suspenseful dialogue will set your readers in the middle of the action and encourage them to keep reading. Which I will say, Sarah, from what I've read so far, yours does at least have that element going for it.
What was the element?
Mysterious mood, like the setting.
I mean, you get that from the summary, but while reading, no.
Well, I was gonna say, from what I've read so far, I mean, I'm not super far into it, but
yeah, that's where it, that's the only place it really appears. It just it can't maintain itself, at least in my opinion. Maybe you'll find it different. I was just
that makes me sad. Okay, so the next thing that is like really important for a mystery novel is the structure of your mystery novel's chapters. So this first article, the nownovel.com, says the allure and fear of the unknown are the pillars of good mystery writing. It's important to structure each chapter around unfolding discoveries expertly. While there should be rising action throughout the novel on a macro scale, within each chapter there should be some rising action too, as well as shifts in knowns and unknowns. Which I would say, yes, is very critical of all of the mysteries I've read, is if you do not know how to pace your revelations and your information, it can cause the mystery to go flat so quickly. Would you guys agree?
Yes.
Sure.
You guys are so helpful. I mean, because like
I'm sorry, I'm trying to find a new dystopian book, so I might not be.
Okay, I can help you with that after we're done recording. Okay. Well, I appreciate that you might be finding a different one. I really do appreciate that, because I don't know that I can do toxic bosses.
I'm just, I'm pretty sure I honed in on Ripe at around the same time that I chose Negative Space. So I was in a really weird mood at the time. I don't think I would still appreciate that at this point in my life.
Okay. I can appreciate that. But anyways, I think the key thing to a good mystery is that the individuals know how to be concise and accurate with their chapters that kind of keep you wanting to read and keep discovering. Mm-hmm. If it lacks that structure to it and you either figure it out too quickly or you feel like the characters are taking too long to figure out what you have figured out.
Or nothing's happening and nothing's getting figured out.
Yeah, that can really flatten your mystery. Which I think for me is part of the why I don't read mysteries a ton, is usually I can figure them out pretty quickly and I don't enjoy that. And then the characterization tends to be, I don't want to say superficial, but like the ones that have really long series, I get tired of being in the same character, experiencing the same thing over and over again. I think that's why I lean more towards like mystery thrillers, where it's like a one-off situation and I'm not coming back to that character. Sarah's nodding because
I agree with that, mainly because when you're returning to the same character all over and over again and the character doesn't change over time because they're already fully developed in maybe being a detective or whatever, there's no engagement in that character. And I find that be the case. And that's where, when I did read like the Bones books, that character did develop because they came out of their, what I think anybody would now call neurodivergence, as they were obligated to interact with people more and more. But I don't think the books fell as hard into that characterization as the TV show did.
No, because I read the first book or two and she definitely was a little less,
she was more socially
capable.
Yeah, capable. Thank you. I was like, not awkward. But
well,
yeah.
And I want to say, like, in the book, she had a daughter or something. I feel like,
she... pretty sure she did. I think she was older.
Yeah. Yeah. She had, if I remember correctly, had a major drinking problem, blah, 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 blah. There were other issues there that don't translate as well to TV as they do in books, but
yeah. So yeah, I would say that is my, that does not plug in there. But yeah, so I think it's, that's my one flaw with mysteries, is sometimes the characters feel like, even Sherlock Holmes, which I've read a couple of, like, you get to the point where you're not really reading it because Sherlock Holmes is changing, because he's iconically the same through most of them.
Well, I would say that these character development isn't a strong component of mysteries, in my opinion. And it's probably one of the reasons why I don't like them. I'm more interested in the characters than I am in plot.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, the character's pretty standard. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah. That kind of same thing, not really mystery, but it's why I stopped really caring about comic books, is because you had the characters and they might change, but then it would just, you know, their character arcs would keep getting reset. And it's like, well, what are we even doing here at this point?
Yeah.
So, yeah, unless it's a graphic novel with a beginning and an end. And even then, sometimes
doesn't need
they
a middle.
Redone.
Does it need a middle? Just a beginning
the
and
middle
end?
Is implied. Okay. Really, it just needs an end, because obviously everything's going to have a beginning. But if it just drags on and on and on in an endless series.
Yeah, I will say my favorite graphic novels tend to be the ones that have very clear arcs. Even within like DC and Marvel, there's a couple of storylines that I love because they have very structured arcs. And I just pretend like the characterization changes and stuff, or the resets never happen, because I like that storyline. Which is like, I guess, my version of fan fiction, is loving particular stories. But I definitely can understand where that would be an issue for you, Sarah, with graphic novels, is the characters consistently staying the same. And so that each any development that does happen gets negated. All right, so our final key element that a mystery should have is a satisfying climax and resolution. So, and this I think is a really, like, one of the bigger key things about mystery novels, is that it has more of a teleological end focused than any other novel in other genres do. So for example, there has clearly been a question that gets set up and it needs to be answered. In fantasy, science fiction, horror, we don't see that idea of, like, you're asking a question and answering it. It's more like a situation set up and we're seeing how it gets handled. But a mystery at the end of the day is, something happened, who did it? How did they do it? And we need those answers in order for the mystery to feel like it's actually been solved. Do you guys agree?
Yes. Yeah.
Why are you making that face, Sarah?
No reason.
Not related to what I'm saying. Okay.
Everything's related to everything you say, Amber.
It should be when we're recording.
I'm sorry. Kim is over here texting pictures of Leiden looking weird.
Which is why I sent that. She almost looked demonic. Her eyes actually rolled. You could actually see part of her eye. When I first took the photo, it was all solid white with her eyes open. So, yeah.
To be fair, that's a pretty normal face for Leiden. And then Allie is texting pictures of
the puppy,
playing with the puppy on her bed. Oh, which I guess we didn't mention that in the recording. Surprise! We have a new animal guest every once in a while now. His name is Pluto. He is a sheep-a-doodle. Anyone who follows us on TikTok has already seen a video of him, because he is my new reading buddy. I have lots of reading buddies. Yes.
He's a cutie. All of the other reading buddies have scattered to ever other parts of the house, because they're all like, what is this and why is it here? It's pretty funny.
Not Daenerys and Drogo. Daenerys is in front of me and actually likes coming up
Don't even go there with Drogo. I have to chase Drogo out of my room like 15 times a day now. So no.
he did come up and cuddle next to me while Pluto was on the bed. And then Daenerys is in, you know, Daenerys never leaves my bed. So she's crawled into my lap to cuddle me while Pluto's curled up next to me. So, yeah.
Anyway, Sarah's like, shit, we're on dog talk again.
I can't see Sarah's face.
I love dogs. Just so great much. Pets.
Listen, the solution, Sarah, is you need to get yourself a reading buddy.
No I comment.
I read fine by myself.
Just a good moment. Answer. Okay, so the ending, something that we are terrible at executing on this podcast. So the key things with the ending is ideally
done. Okay. Sorry, that was a lag. My internet's going real slow.
All right, let's wrap this up. The ending.
Should have answered pressing questions that have been kept from the reader. Revealed the truth about characters falsely suspected. Relate clearly to the beginning. And then leave the reader feeling inclined to read your next novel, which I think is where mysteries always fail me, is I don't. That's why I like thrillers. It's like you get to the end of your thriller and you're like, oh, you're done with that. On to the next one.
I mean, you don't necessarily want to read the same thing over again, like just different characters, different setting, but or assuming that you get different characters, it's like, oh, great. Going through the whole puzzle thing again. I don't know.
Yeah.
Once in a while, but not like over and over again.
There are some people who like seeing if they can figure out the puzzle over and over again. I do not.
Yeah, I don't ever try to figure out the puzzle myself. I'm just reading it to see, you know, how it turns out. But I'm not like, ooh, I bet it's this character, or ooh, it's gotta be this one.
I will ponder who, you know, is the person actually the suspect or are they not? Like, I will do that, which is why I like Simone St. James's books, is because I get a combination of both who did it and there's still something left to the imagination. But I guess there are people who like that kind of stuff. So anything else you guys think I missed when it came to mysteries?
Nope.
Any other thoughts, reflections, comments?
Can't wait to get through this.
The mystery month?
Yeah.
Listen. I loved Murder Road. And we didn't dislike Riley Sager the last time we read them. So, you know, there's that. I was very confused if they were actually a man. Apparently, I'm not the only person who gets confused by that. Feels like their pen name tricked them. Alrighty. Well, then, we will be back next time with The Forest Demands Its Due. Sarah's pick for Mystery Month as she hides her face. So.
I mean, I don't think it's worse than Leech, but.
What's is there an ending to that sentence?
But it's pretty bad.
Okay. Okay.
Oh.
So, on that note, our intro and outro music is by Grant Newman and is called The Battle of the Nile from Epidemic Sound. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to Bookpile Banter on Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes, or whichever platform you listen to your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you on any of our social media platforms, such as Instagram or TikTok. You can find us at book_pile_banter. You can support us at bookshop.org. Our link is available via our social media. You can email us at bookpilebanter@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.